An hour of smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salopatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salopatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music by Peter Van Steeden, and a new Town Hall variety. New music, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads the parade down Main Street to the old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a hockey stick, followed by those frozen pucks of the drama, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join the merry throng. Everybody's going to the old Town Hall. Here they come, six-day bike races.
Do you ride 6 days with that radio on your handlebars, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, but I only use the radio Wednesdays, lady. It's Town Hall tonight.
Bridge Club.
Are you stopping the bridge tournament for an hour, Miss Steele?
Yes. The girls have voted to listen to the radio, Miss Shuffle. It's Town Hall tonight.
Old Cowhand.
You ain't putting that cow in the barn without milking her, see?
Yep. I gotta see what Ellen's pulling on the radio, Lamb. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, I see that Fred stopped in front of the old Town Hall. It's a little cold here tonight, and Fred's using heated words to warm up the crowd. Let's listen.
I dreamt I dwelled in marble halls, folks, but I woke up to find myself at the old town hall. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Now, don't stop the gossip, neighbors. Go right in.
Evening, Chatterbox.
Hi there, Deacon.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Evening, Mrs. Dugan. Was your church taffy pull a big success?
Well, the church made money, but I got stuck with the taffy.
Had your hands full, hey? Check your coats and hats, because the show's the cats on the inside, folks. So hurry.
We're all set, Fred.
Okay, Harry. Peter's opening the show with Rolling Home from Born to Dance.
Righto, Fred. Let her go, Peter.
Her joy,
her sailor boy,
the max with the kids. And can you hear the cheering on the pier? So quick, now get on your jobs and tell the engineer. We're rolling home, our shores are nearly through. So step lively, pal, you'll soon be with the gal.
Presenting that forever flowing fountain of fun, frolic, facetious facts, and frothy folderol, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. That's the second largest industry in the country, raising applause cards. It's a new... Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we undo our cufflinks and show you what we've got up our sleeves for this evening, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, says that some troublemaker started a rumor that there's a Santa Claus in his store, and for the last 3 days, the place has been mobbed with kids. Now, Hodge says he knows who started this nefarious propaganda. He saw you peeking in the window when he was changing his clothes, lady. And what you saw wasn't Santa Claus. It was only Hodge in his new red flannel. So much for peeping tomboys around the village. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Dumbing count, Fred.
Dumbing count. If it's coming down the way you're talking, it's going up. However, comma, the lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York.
Dr. Frank Jewett, head of the Bell Telephone Laboratories, talks over a 3,780-mile cable telephone circuit to newspaper reporters in the next room. Town Hall News makes test calls to check on Dr. Jewett's long-distance feat. The scene, office of the Town Hall News.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Well, good morning, press. Are the newsreel men here?
Yes, the camera's all set, Mr. Allen.
Now, all of you reporters are familiar with the nature of my experiment, I hope.
You're going to phone around the world, aren't you? I'm from Harper's Bazaar.
Regardless. From my office here, I will call Zimmerman's drugstore next door and order a cherry Coke. The call will go to Kansas City, San Francisco, across the Pacific to Java, then to Amsterdam, London, back to New York, and next door to Zimmerman's drugstore.
Wonderful.
Amazing.
No, it's nothing really, folks. How are you ready, newsreels?
Okay. Action. Camera.
Hello?
Is there anything wrong, Mr. Allen?
No. Once I get the New York operator, the rest will be smooth sailing. Here we are. Hello.
Hello, I'm ringing your party.
Wait a minute, operator. I haven't given you the number
yet. Excuse it, please. Number, please.
I'm making an experimental round-the-world call to Zimmerman's drugstore in Radio City by the way of Kansas City.
I'm ringing Kansas City. Here you are. Kansas City chief operator. Excuse it, please.
I'm making a round-the-world call, Zimmerman's drugstore.
There is no Zimmerman in Kansas City. Sorry, I'll return your nickel. The party is calling New York, KC. The party is in New York. You have a complaint?
No, I'm satisfied up to now. This call is going round the world. Get me San Francisco.
Hold the line, please. Ready?
Yes.
Hello.
San Francisco?
No, this is Topeka. Alf speaking.
No. I want San Francisco.
Call operator, San Francisco testing. WAP. 1, 2, 3, 4. WAP.
Never mind the WAP. Get me Zimmerman's drugstore, New York via Bombay.
San Francisco testing. WAP. 1, 2, 3, 4. WAP.
All right, the WAP is on me. Now get me Bombay.
I'm ringing your party.
Who are you?
New York calling.
WAP. 1, 2, 3. WAP.
Listen, I want Bombay. Bomb. Boom. Bomb as in explosion.
Kansas City calling Bombay. Excuse it, please.
Manjai, you call Shanghai?
Get off of there. I want Zimmerman's drugstore in Radio City.
You keep track on ringing party.
Operator.
London Telephone Exchange, Piccadilly Division, Iowa. Oh,
you call Shanghai?
No, definitely. You rang here.
Somebody screwy.
Who's screwy? This is a round-the-world call, party to party. I want Zimmerman.
Kansas City standing by for San Francisco.
Wham! 1, 2, 3. Wham!
I'm ringing your party.
You crazy. Insult China government. This mean war.
Piccadilly calling Zimmerman's chemist shop.
Hello, Zimmerman. Send me over a cherry coke.
Pellerstein calling Chauvin.
Is Zimmerman there?
Zimmerman, phooey. Hello, round the world call.
Yes.
I'm getting Zimmerman's drugstore.
I want a cherry coke.
Ringing Zimmerman.
Tingling Zimmerman.
Crying Zimmerman.
Whap. 1, 2, 3. Whap.
Here's your party, Zimmerman's drugstore. You want a cherry coke?
No. Tell Zimmerman I want an aspirin. Goodbye.
Paris, France. The French government, through Foreign Minister Yvonne de Beau, expects to make definite statement as to its ability to pay United States war debt in 1937. Town Hall News shows American delegate discussing debt with French diplomat way back in 1930.
Well, monsieur, on behalf of America, shall we be frank and earnest?
Oui, we shall be earnest, but no frank.
Tin Pan Alley, New York. Town Hall News presents a 10-second preview of the leading hit song of the week, The Organ Grinder Swing. The Organ Grinder Swing.
Judge, these three organ grinders are guilty of murder. What is your verdict? Very good. The organ grinders swing.
Give a gag enough rope and it'll go over. Yeah.
Budapest, Hungary. Dr. Frank Saugus, public dueler number one, fights three duels in one day. Town Hall News shows Dr. Saugus meeting three opponents. The three duels.
Oh!
Oh!
Missed by Himmel.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. A famous criminal lawyer recently said, I'm quoting, "It is absolutely useless to cross-examine women. They don't know what part of their story is for them or against them." I'm unquoting. At the risk of finding subpoenas in our oatmeal, we heartily disagree with the learned barrister and prove our disagreement by doing a little cross-examining ourselves. The witness is yours, Mr. Von Zell.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Now, Mrs. Wayne, where were you on the night of December the 2nd?
I was at home with a cold.
Well, you certainly haven't any signs of a cold now.
Oh, that's because I took care of it right away.
And do you mind telling us how you did it?
No, certainly not. I just got plenty of rest, I drank a lot of liquids, and I was very careful about my diet, and, oh, I almost forgot the most important thing.
What was that?
Well, at the very first sign of my cold, I put 2 teaspoonfuls of salepatica in a glass of water and drank it.
Now, why did you do that first, Mrs. Wayne?
Well, because I've learned from my doctor that you can often throw off a cold more quickly by doing 2 things right away. Remove waste from the body and help nature combat the acidity that usually accompanies a cold.
And since sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that not only removes waste from the body, but also helps nature combat acidity, you felt that it was just what you needed to start fighting your cold. Is that the reason?
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Wayne. And that is the reason so many physicians recommend sal hepatica, and why so many people remember it, for the smile of health.
Steedon and the Ipana Troubadours have just played the new Splinter song, "I've Got You Under My Skin," from the hit picture Born to Dance. Now, on Friday night
Mr. Allen.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. Allen.
Quiet. Quiet, please.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when the magician stepped into the coal bin. They didn't know he was going to do them a dirty trick. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Mama sent me out to get an osteopath, but the store was closed.
The store was closed? What do you think an osteopath is?
It's some kind of a little mattress, isn't it?
You don't mean an ostomore by any chance?
Oh, I'm not that dumb.
No, that's right. In order to be dumb, you have to know at least one thing. Then you can be dumb by comparison.
You mean you have to have a one-track mind?
Your mind is all cracked. If I had your head, I'd wear it in a splint.
I didn't come out to discuss millinery.
Make up your mind. Is it discuss or discuss? A discuss is one of those things they throw at Olympic Games besides contestants who have champagne on the trip.
Well, I didn't come out to discuss millinery. I've got to get an osteopath.
What for?
There's something the matter with Papa's throat.
Oh, look, an osteopath has nothing to do with the throat. An osteopath is a doctor who manipulates bone.
Oh, no wonder Mama wants one.
Why?
We had fish for dinner, and Papa's got a bone stuck in his throat.
He's got a bone stuck in his derby when he's got it on, too. If there's any news.
That's hearsay. Papa's a lot smarter than you think.
Now, look, I don't want to discuss.
I get it. Mr. Lapidus!
Now, don't call old people in here. We have a...
Come in. Gradually, I trip it as I go and delight fantastic thought.
Where are the others, Mr. Lapidus?
Coming, Blossom.
Coming.
Coming, Sir Guy.
Coming, coming. Here already, Beverly.
Likewise, Beverly.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this?
Mr. Lapidus runs the Lapidus Little Theater downtown, Mr. Allen. Yeah.
Correct. I am Beverly Lapidus, leading man, general manager, and on Delancey Street of personality.
And I am Blossom Lodvogel. George Jim Nathan is calling me the Salula Bankhead of the ghetto.
Yes, and I am Sir Guy Lewis. In my last throw, Moshe Pippet, the Daily Prophet is giving me a 4-star.
This company is bigger than Noel Coward on the east side, Mr. Allen.
I've never seen the east side of Noel Coward. I wouldn't know.
Who is Noel Coward, a foreigner? Beverly Lapidus is bigger already than Minsky.
I'd hate to have your nerve and a tooth.
But be it so. But sing be it so, Mr. Snappianter. We are the royal family, slightly with an action.
No doubt.
What shows have you played, Mr. Lapidus?
This season, we are opening with Little Nally Cally, starring Blossom Lodvogel and Artiste to the Fingertips.
What an opening! Dress suit! Oi, Kemper, you could smell 4 blocks away.
Well, at least it killed the aroma of the acting, I'll wager.
Well, the second production is The Man with a Load of Mischief, starring Beverly Lapidus.
Who I happen to be.
Yes.
You are not knowing what mischief is until you are seeing me in this part.
You are not forgetting Blossom Lodvogel is stealing the second act, Beverly.
You are not forgetting, Blossom, that Sir Guy is in the second act, playing Roderick Dubil, a fat part.
Oh, there's Sir Guy is in the second act.
So, I'm an actor. I should be in the lobby.
Now, look, before I revive He Who Gets Slapped, what is this?
Mr. Lapidus wants to put his company on Broadway, Mr. Allen.
Such a season, everybody is playing Hamlet.
John Gielgud, Leslie Howard, Johnny Newcomers.
Well, don't tell me that you people play Shakespeare.
So we play Shakespeare.
I'm laughing. Macbeth and Sir Guy Lewine is like Damon and Runyon.
Last summer, for instance, we are presenting a Shakespearean season up and down the East River on Goldstein's combination delicatessen and showboat.
Yes, and Sir Guy Lewine is playing Othello the Moor, a donkey.
And again, Blossom Lodvogel as Desdemona is stealing the second act in costume.
Did you play Shakespeare yourself, Mr. Lapidus?
Confidentially, in The Merchant of Venice, I am playing Shylock. For me, it's a character part.
I'd like to see that.
Oh, you are putting us to the test?
Yes.
I'm giving you warning, boys. Again, I will steal the second act, for it's monotonous.
Could you give us a short scene, Mr. Lapidus?
A pleasure. Company, we will be presenting a brief interlude from the courtroom scene.
What's the piece so I'll know what I'm acting?
The Merchant of Venice.
Oh, Sir Guy is playing Antonio, a fat part.
Well, it better be fat. You lose a pound of flesh in it.
Quiet. I am getting in the mood for Portia.
Let's go, then. The scene's a courtroom.
And Shylock, I will speak.
I play it in dialect. Listen.
A fire upon you all. The pot of flash is mine. I'm asking 60 nonsense.
So maybe you got an anesthetic for suit?
Gadzooks, Chancellor. I have aught but the sharp blade.
Have you no mercy, Silas?
Piping down the nation. I am here to cutting an acquaintance.
You got no mighty butcher?
So it's your business, buddy. I got an agreement and a knife.
The quality of my share is not strange. It's dripping like the Gentile rain from heaven.
Rain or shine, I'm here to getting a pound of flesh.
So taking a pound of flesh, Sherlock. But remember...
Business is business, so what's to remember?
Only the flesh you are taking home should be kosher.
Ha-ha. Ho-ho.
A Daniel is coming from the lion's den.
Oh, ha-ha. Speak, Antonio. Are you kosher?
Playing this part, I'm a ham.
A ham? Hui. I go with hands.
With what hands?
With empty hands. And you.
And you, Kai. Quite wonderful, Mr. Lapidus.
You would perhaps like a snitch from Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, no. I've just seen it, thanks.
You got any suggestions, Knacker?
Yes, all's well that ends. Ex-junk.
As you like it, we'll go to Sam Harris.
Better Sam Harris will come to us.
You should live so long. Goodbye, Portland.
Callie, ho!
And now for the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys overlook their rheumatics and sing You Should Have Seen Grandpa Swing.
Poor Grandpa, poor old man, poor old Grandpa, they sent him to the promised land.
My Grandpa from the Golden West would hardly even sing. So not a person would have guessed that he knew how to swing.
But one fine day he showed them that they were very wrong.
He was in the course of stealing a horse.
When the sheriff came along.
Oh, you should have seen Grandpa swing. You should have seen Grandpa swing. Now when it came to music, he was a loss. And rhythm made him very cross.
But when he tried to steal that horse,
you should have seen Grandpa swing. Poor Grandpa, poor old man, poor old Grandpa.
They sent him to the promised land.
Poor Grandpa. Poor old Grandpa.
That rope sure had him swinging high.
Did you say swinging low?
Said swinging high.
The rope sure had him swinging high.
Now I always led a life of ease. I never cussed or banged. I stole him horses, if please, just to keep myself amused. But when the sheriff caught me, I cussed and cussed and cussed. Heard they turn me loose on the end of the noose, and the noose refused to bite.
Oh, you should have seen Grandpa swing. You should have seen Grandpa swing.
Now when they hung him on that hickory tree, the folks come around for miles to see.
And when they counted one, two, three, you should have seen Grandpa swing. Poor Grandpa, poor old man. Promised land. Poor Grandpa, poor old guy, poor old Grandpa. That rope sure had him swinging, had him swinging high.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, and thank you, boys.
Stop.
Stop what?
Look.
Look where?
Listen.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, I'm just going to say something about Ipana toothpaste.
Why doesn't somebody tell me these things?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Gosh.
Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, what I was going to say is this. Stop being handicapped by unattractive smiles. Look to your gums as well as your teeth to give you attractive smiles. Listen to what dentists say.
Teeth are seldom white and sparkling when gums are soft and tender. And most of the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays do not give our gums enough exercise and stimulation to keep them firm and healthy.
That is why, like so many dentists, we earnestly advise the regular use of Ipana and massage. For Ipana is the toothpaste designed to help benefit your gums as well as to brighten your teeth. So every time you brush your teeth with it, massage your gums with a little extra Ipana. In that way, you'll give them the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against gum trouble. Firmer, healthier gums, whiter, brighter teeth, and far more attractive smiles are certainly three good reasons for remembering Ipana, for the smile of beauty. There's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present those forgotten men and women of the theater, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, these Humpty Dumpties get down from their walls to bring you a slice of life direct from the radio studios. It's called the Community Sing. Or, if you want to sing like the birdies sing, why don't you go south for the winter? Overture, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the studio audience. Tiddles, Tousle, Toupees, the sponsors of this community sing, welcome you to our broadcast tonight. And Mr. Tiddles, the maker of Tiddles, Tousle, Toupees, personally hopes you'll all have a good time. Thank you. Thank you. Now I want you to meet our master of ceremonies, that bald-headed music maker, Kendall Fall.
Well, thank you all, neighbors. Now, neighbors, I know you all ain't here in the studio for no good. You're all here to sing. Now, before the broadcast starts, I want to give you all a few instructions. Now, the words of the songs will be flashed on this screen, and Mr. Petrie here...
Thank you, neighbor.
A relative, no doubt.
Yes.
Mr. Petrie is vice president in charge of pitch pipe. Show the neighbors, Mr. Petrie. That's plenty, Mr. Petrie. Now, before we go on the air, neighbors, let's try that old favorite, Silver Threads. Ready, neighbors?
You're right.
Ready, Mr. Petrie? That's it, neighbors. Bellow.
Sorry, I am growing old. Silver Threads.
Right good. Right good, neighbors. Just take it a little slower. You sang Darling okay. But you grew old a little too fast.
How was I, Mr. Squall?
Now, altogether too dominant with your pitch pipe, Petrie. Don't try to make it a solo.
I'm sorry, Mr. Squall, but the pitch pipe isn't just a French horn.
I know, Petrie.
I'm vice president in charge of pitch pipes, and my fan mail proves that 90% of our radio listeners are pitch pipe lovers.
This is a community sing, Petrie, not a pitch pipe recital.
No touch.
Now, I'm telling... Never mind your touch. I'm running this here sing, and I'm telling you to cut down on your keynote.
There.
Well, that's better. Now, we're just going to have time to try Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. I'll sing the first part alone till we get to those lines. The gates of Hades are ajar. Then you all come in with me.
Between the...
Hold on, neighbors. Who done that?
It's the buzzer, Kendall. We're on the air.
This is station YELL, folks. The correct time is... Well, I can't see the clock from here, but what's the difference, folks, hey? Say, if you got time to listen to the next program, you ain't going no place anyway. And here it is. Tiddles, Dazzle, Toupees present the community sing. Let's go.
Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. Let's all go like the moo cow moo.
Moo.
And you, too, can sing and moo, folks, if you're wearing a Tiddle Tousle toupee. The toupee that comes already tousled. Why waste time with hair tonic? Get hair the easy way. Buy a Tiddle Tousle toupee. But more about Tiddle Tousle toupees later, folks. Here's Kendall Squall.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Mighty tweet of you, neighbors. Now, here's a request come in from Mrs. Lummock of Lily Pad, Virginia. Mrs. Lummox wants to hear There's a Tavern in the Town. Are we going to let Mrs. Lummox down, neighbors?
No!
You bet we ain't. Here's the words on the screen. Here's Mr. Petrie. And here we go, neighbors.
There is a tavern in the town, in the town.
In the town?
Where they'll never let you down, turn you down.
Turn you down.
Hold on, hold on. Hold on, neighbors. There's some smart aleck at the Sing tonight. Now, who's putting in them obligatas down there? This is a community Sing, neighbors, and we're going to sing like a community. Now, the next rugged individualist that solos, out he goes. Okay, neighbors, I'm taking that as a vote of confidence. Now, let's try that again.
There's a tavern in the town.
I'm sorry, Kendall, we're late. The commercial comes in here.
But the neighbors ain't finished yet.
Tiddles, toupees come before the neighbors. Now
wait
hold
a minute.
It.
I'm
going to get in this commercial now. I can't. How many of you men are suffering from scalpitosis? Scalpitosis, the medical term for bald head. Do your friends laugh when you tip your hat? Do the girls look the other way when you come up head first in swimming? If they do, ladies and gentlemen. If they do, get a Tiddle Towsel toupee, the only toupee already tousled. Your best friend will think you forgot to comb your hair. Don't go through life with a Sally Rand scalp mint. Now let us hear what happened to John Brown.
If you don't sign on the dotted line, Morgan, the deal is off.
I can't see the dotted line. The sun is shining in my eyes.
Then you lose $2 million, Morgan. A good day.
Brown.
Yes, sir.
You know why I couldn't see the sign of the dotted line?
No, sir.
The sun was glaring off your bald head. It dazzled me.
I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry? Your bald head cost me $2 million. You may be my partner, but you're fired.
Did John Brown give up? No. He bought a tubal tibble tubi toupee. The next day, he returned to the office.
I saw the sign outside. Partner wanted, Mr. Morgan.
Yes, my partner was bald-headed. I fired him.
I have a wonderful head of hair. Look.
You're hired.
John Brown got his old job back, and his own partner didn't know him because he wore a teedle-toddle-tippy, toopy, tapy. You, too, can get your old job back. Buy a towsel toupee. You'll be tickled no end.
And now, neighbors, we're going to sing the old oaken bucket.
The old oaken bucket.
Bucket.
The iron bucket.
Bucket.
Now hold on, hold on, hold on, neighbors. Somebody's ringing in an extra bucket here.
It's that same voice, Mr. Squall.
I'm warning that show-off neighbor. If I find out who's putting in that superfluous bucket, I'm going to pull it down over his ears. Now let's get going again, neighbors.
The old oaken bucket.
Bucket.
Who's doing that? Now see here, neighbors. I'm slow to rile. But one more peep out of that baritone radical.
Mr. Squall. Oh, Mr. Squall.
Are you doing that stale singing, sister?
No. But I'm the sponsor's secretary. Mr. Tittle says if there's any more interruptions, he'll throw you and the whole community sing out and put on hillbillies.
Hillbillies?
Yes. He says they can't sing either, but at least they always finish together.
You tell Tiddle to go tousle his toupee.
Yes, sir.
Now, you all heard that, neighbors?
Yes.
You all don't want to go back on sustaining, do you, neighbors?
No.
All right. Now, let's have that old oaken bucket again. And no tomcatting.
Bucket.
You can't wait, hey? Wise guy, where's the studio cop?
Right here, Mr. Squall.
Grab that heckling neighbor there, right down
hey,
there.
Hey, come back here, you.
Hey, but I gotta catch a train.
And that ain't all you're gonna catch if you're the one who's trying to break up our community sing.
No, really, I didn't. Honest, let go of my coat,
officer. Oh, no, you don't. No,
it
you
wasn't
don't.
Me. Can't you tell by my voice?
No, now here. Just give us the first line of that ditty, neighbor. We'll make sure.
The old
here. Don't try to distract your voice. Give us them pure tones.
Take your hand out of my collar. You're cramping my Adam's apple.
Never mind that. Sing.
The old oaken bucket. Bucket.
I knew it. I knew it. Y'all even double-crossed yourself.
Why, you music hater. Why
are
you...
No, don't hit me. I'll confess. I did it. I put in the extra bucket.
Trying to get me fired, hey? This is nocturne sabotage, neighbor.
No. I wasn't trying to hurt you.
No? Then what's your idea in breaking up this community scene?
It was Tiddle's tousled toothpaste. I swore I'd get even. Tittle ruined my business.
What business?
I'm president of the Fuzzo Hair Tonic Company.
Oh, yeah? You may be president of the Fuzzo Hair Tonic Company outside, but you're just another contralto in here. Now you sit down and keep quiet.
All right. If I can't get even with Tittle, I'll end it all.
Nope. If you fall one more bucket, I'll end it all for you.
I'll show you.
Hey, put away that gun.
Oh!
Where the poor guy... He's kicked the bucket.
Bucket!
I knew it! Why, if I thought it... Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Now, tonight, we inaugurate something new. Just been in the community seeing 2 minutes and my voice is changing. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we inaugurate something new to Town Hall. Instead of our usual amateur contest...
Oh, Fred, you skipped me.
Well, I know, Harry. I'm sorry, but I'm afraid we're going to be a little late. Now,
well, listen, Fred, wait a minute. What would our sponsors do if I didn't say a word or two about how good Salipatic is for that logy, half-sick, headachy feeling?
Well, I don't know, Harry. Why don't you ask them? Mr. Bristol is over there in the control room, right beside the stage telephone.
Well, I could ask him, but it's...
Then here's the phone, Harry.
Okay, thanks. Well, hello, Mr. Bristol. No, nothing's wrong. I just wanted to ask you something. Do you mind if we go right ahead with the program without saying anything about Sal Hepatica? Well, everybody knows how good it is for that under-par feeling, or they wouldn't keep on using it the way they do.
What did he say, Harry?
Wait a minute, Fred. What's that, Mr. Bristol? Acidity? Oh, surely. Earlier in the program, you remember, we said that Sal Hepatica was the mineral salt laxative that not only removes waste from the body, but also helps nature combat acidity. The two things that usually cause that dull, half-sick feeling. Oh, I'm sure everyone knows that physicians have been recommending Sal Hepatica for 40 years. All right, fine. Thanks, Mr. Bristol.
What did he say, Harry?
Said, all right, we can skip it this time.
Fine.
Now, the Town Hall Varieties. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are presenting our first variety show. Now, before we start, I want to explain that we have relaxed the rigid amateur requirements maintained in our shows for the past 2 years. We feel that most of the talented amateur artists in the New York area have had an opportunity to appear in our town hall contest. And starting this week, we are auditioning and will present young men and women who are not necessarily amateurs. Some of them have worked professionally. Others are making their first bid for radio recognition. But here comes Fred now leading this new array of talent to our microphone. Let's give them a real town hall reception. Come on.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that through the presentation of these variety programs, we will be able to help both embryonic and professional talent to receive the radio recognition that a nationwide network can supply. While this is not a competition, to offer further encouragement to ambitious talent, cash awards will be made to the acts selected by the applause of our studio audience here tonight. Your applause, ladies and gentlemen, will be recorded on our applause machine, and the acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later for a final check. Now, first tonight, I would like to present the Sweet and Low Trio from Brooklyn. 3 charming young ladies, 2 blondes and 1 brunette. With 3 violins. The violins are all brunette, aren't they? Good. Would you mind if I asked you how long this act had been together?
Oh, for quite a number of months, Mr. Allen.
It has. Have you been playing in, around, or about New York City?
No, we haven't, but we'd like to.
Well, I hope you get your wish. Have you played in any cafes or theaters or...
No, we haven't.
You haven't, huh?
No.
Well, you know, upstairs in this very building here, Mr. Rockefeller is running a nightclub. It's called the Rainbow Room. So I tell you what I'll do. Well, as soon as you start to play, I'm going to sneak out and open one of the ventilators. And then the music will seep up through the building into the Rainbow Room. And the first thing you know, somebody will be down here to see what's going on. And the finish will be that you girls may be up there and I won't be here, or vice versa. But I'm just going to ask you what your number is going to be.
Would you?
Would you? Well, all right, you go right ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
He holds her in his arms. Would you? Would you? He tells her of her charms. Would you? Would you?
Thy mother, my mother, my woman.
the girl would I, would you, would you?
And would you get to pay, let the pain I'll play?
Which it certainly was. And now I would like to present another act, gentlemen I have known for a great many years, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Hyde and his Honey Boys. Tommy, I haven't seen you for quite a long time.
Right.
You have been in minstrel shows, had your own minstrel acts, and been in minstrelsy for a good many years, haven't you?
Yes, a long while, Freddie.
Did you mind if I ask
no,
you a question?
No, go ahead.
I won't bother the other honey boys. I'll just pick on you, Tom.
All right.
Of course, you can keep them here for protection if anything crops up.
Yeah.
But do you mind if I ask you when you first started in minstrelsy or in the minstrel business?
Why, I started with L.G. Fields in 1900.
In 1900, mm-hmm. Huh? I remember the Field Show. I used to see it years ago. It came out of, it always opened in Columbus, didn't
yeah,
it,
that's
around
right.
the fall of the year?
We rehearsed in Columbus and opened there.
I remember that. You, you must have played with and remember a great many fellas who started in minstrel shows with you years ago.
Oh, yes, lots of them.
Could you tell me some of them offhand? Or?
Well, some of the better known minstrels were like Bill Vann with the L.G. Field Show.
Billy Vann?
Yeah, then with the Doc Stater Show, there was such. Names is Neil O'Brien, Carol Johnson, Lou Dockstader, and the best known of all, maybe it would be Al Jolson.
Al Jolson?
Yes,
was he with the Field Show?
No, he was with the Dockstader Show.
Oh, Dockstader
that was the
show.
Dockstader. I roomed with him during the season 1907 and 8 with the Dockstader Show.
Gosh, imagine. I don't know. I hate to see minstrel shows sort of disappear, and they have, haven't they?
Oh, yes.
I hear from Lasses White once in a while. He's on the radio down in Nashville.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
But it's a shame because a minstrel show was always in good financial condition. It always ended up in the black no matter what happened. But I know that you're not going to have time to do your full act, Tommy. But would you mind, have you selected a number from it to do, or...
Yes, I'm going to do the boys are going to sing a little minstrel atmosphere for an opening. I'm going to do a shottish, which is known as a soft shoe dance in modern rhythm.
All right. Have you got enough room on the mat there?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll go right
and
ahead.
I forgot to mention that one of the most famous men I ever trooped with was a fella that we, when we first went and bought Vaudeville, Freddie Allen, did the juggling act.
Oh, I meant to ask.
Bill with us.
I meant to ask you... Tom, confidentially, how was that act I used
that,
to do?
That was pretty good. You remember we opened with you at the Colonial here in
at
New York?
At the Colonial? Was I there that night?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Alhambra where I wasn't there at night. I remember that. Well, all right, Tom. Uh-huh. And you go right ahead. Thank you.
Where is the girl that I used to know? Where the pale moon shone?
what's troubling me? I'm crying for the Caroline.
I'm crying. Can't you hear my lips a-saying?
Crying for the
Honey Boy. Tommy, I don't see how you keep so limber. I can barely make it creeping around here. I noticed some ivy pass me on the street today. It's got me worried. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present another very good friend of mine. A few years ago, we played together many times in vaudeville. Jim Kelso. We did. I'm not fibbing, am I, James?
At the Maryland Theater in Baltimore. It's the last date we played together.
The Maryland Theater in Baltimore. Do you remember the bell?
Whispering Jack Smith.
Did he ever get his voice back? The Dodge Twins.
The Dodge Twins. And Upside Down Harry Kahn.
Upside Down Harry. That's right. I was working with a fellow named York then. I remember.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, it certainly is a shame to see vaudeville all but disappear, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Vaudeville was the training ground for practically all of our great stars today. And it's funny, this is a whole new business. I never thought it would come to this. 10 cents worth of tin and a stick here, did it? Well, it just goes to show you, a comedian now in radio tells more jokes in 6 months than Raymond Hitchcock perhaps told in a lifetime. The only difference today is that Raymond Hitchcock owned the jokes that he told. But, Jim, we're a little pressed for time. I'm just going to ask you what you're going to do tonight.
Well, I'd like to do a bit that I did some years ago in the Ziegfeld Follies, an impression of a gentleman that had dined, I'm afraid, not wisely, but a little too well. You understand what I mean?
A little too well.
And he insisted upon reciting Gunga Din, regardless of the fact that he had a bad cold.
Uh-huh. A like cold flush, dining too well.
Yeah, that's right.
Gunga Din. All right, you go right ahead.
Gunga Din. You may talk of gin and beer when you're quartered safe out here and you're sent to penny fights that ever shot it. But when it comes to slaughter, you'll do your work on water and you'll lick the bloomin' boots of him that's got it. Now, in India's sunny clime, where I used to spend my time as servant of Her Majesty the Queen, of all them black-faced crew, the finest man I knew was our regimental beastie, Gunga Din. The uniform he wore was nothing much before and little less than after that behind. For a piece of twisty rag and a goatskin water bag was all the field equipment he could find. And when the sweating fruit trains lay in a siding through the day where the heat would make your blooming eyebrows crawl, we shouted, Harry, till our throats were bricky dry, and then we whopped him because he couldn't serve us all. It was din, 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 with the bullets kicking dust spots on the green. And when the cartridges ran out, you could hear the front files shout, "Hi, ammunition mules, engines, yeah." I'll not forget the night when I dropped behind the fight with a bullet where my belt plate should have been. I was choking mad with thirst, and the man that spied me first was our good old grinning, grunting Gunga Din. He lifted up my head and he plugged me where I bled, and he gave me half a pint of water. Green, crawling. And it stunk, and of all the drinks I've ever drunk, I'm grateless to one from Gunga Din. Yes, din, 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 you Lazarusian leather Gunga Din. Though I've belted you and flayed you by the living giraffe that made you, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Thank you very much, Jim Kelso. That was swell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Miss Marion Berman. Are you from New York, Miss Berman?
Oh, no, I'm from New Brunswick, New Jersey.
New Jersey. New Jersey, as I recall, is a strip of land nature placed across the Hudson River so that people who went up on top of the Empire State Building would have something to look down on when they But you have been studying the piano for a great many years, haven't you?
Ever since I've been eight.
And how old are you now? You
18.
18, huh? 10 years. And what are you going to play for us tonight?
The Rondo Capriccioso by Mendelssohn.
Well, thank you. I was going to say you took the words out of my mouth, but you certainly didn't, because those particular words have never been in there that I know before. Will you go right ahead, if you
thank
will?
Thank you.
Miss Marion Berman from New Brunswick. Miss Berman has appeared in quite a few concerts and recitals throughout New Jersey, and tonight we're very fortunate and happy to have her here. Are you ready, Miss Berman? Can you move that platform back a little, Harry? Little trouble at the piano there. Mr. Von Zell has crowded the furniture so that no one can get around. All right. Thank you. Marion Burma, New Brunswick, New Jersey. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Harold Brinkman. And, Mr. Brinkman, I'm just going to ask you what you're going to sing.
Will I Ever Know.
Will I Ever Know. Thank you.
Will I ever know the joy of living lost in the spell of night, sharing its rare delight in somebody's heart? Will I ever find those arms around me, lips that are pressed to mine, making this world divine? Will I ever know? The moment that I see her, I will know her, no matter how impossible it seems. I know just what she'll do, I know just what she'll say. We have met before in dreams. Will I ever know that happy ending, like in a book or play, when someone leads the way?
Mr. Harold Brinkman concludes our town hall varieties, ladies and gentlemen. And while I go into my weekly huddle with the applause machine, Harry will call the signals. All right, Harry.
To keep abreast of our fast-changing times, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you every week new fun, new music, and a variety of new talent. However, two things about this program will never change. The two products that make all of these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. You can always depend on the never-changing quality of iPana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. iPana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results now?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the two acts we have asked to kindly step out on the stage. Now, as I call the names, I'm going to ask the boys and girls if they will kindly step out and take a bow. And I'm going to ask you to please applaud once again, if you will, and select your outstanding act for this evening. Now, first, the three young, charming young ladies with their violins and harmony singing, who sang Would You, the Sweet and Low Trio. And then the delightful minstrel act, Tommy Hyde and his Honey Boys. Thank you. What does the machine say? Thank you. The first award, $100 in cash, goes to your selection, ladies and gentlemen, as outstanding act this evening, to Tommy Hyde and his Honey Boy. The second award of $50 goes with our compliments to the Sweet and Low Trio. And thank you all for a splendid show. Good night.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.